You see the title I have here, The Gospel to the End of the Earth. The Gospel to the End of the Earth, the Ethiopian Eunuch. Well, we started off with the gospel being preached in Jerusalem. The disciples themselves, Apostle Peter, John, and the rest, they were engaged after the day of Pentecost in proclaiming Jesus Christ as the only Savior of Israel, the Messiah, the promised Messiah. They declared this as they took the words of their master seriously, that you wait in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high. And we have seen it before our very eyes, how Jesus in his promises, fulfilling his promise to his disciples. So fulfilling it clearly before our very eyes, that he gave his disciple an upper hand. Those who were fearful and running for themselves, for their life, Peter himself denying his master three times, became bold and proclaimed to the Sanhedrin, the one of the most powerful institutions, which were able to judge you to death, as they did with Jesus Christ. Together they allied themselves with the Roman Empire, and they were able to do that. Well, we have seen the disciples were so courageous and doing that. And also God in his providence, we have seen how he allowed the persecution to break loose so that the believers in Jerusalem might be scattered and thrown and pushed out, and yet to preach the gospel in Judea and in Samaria. And we have just seen, we are about to finish with Philip in Samaria. You see? So now the gospel, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. And now the gospel is going to reach the end of the earth. But it doesn't reach it like we think in our modern days today. Like, oh, you have to travel and you go, you see, to the end of the earth. Well, even the end of the earth in those days was very small, isn't it? It was very close. You see, the population of the entire world was not like this. You see, and whenever there is a mention of the earth, that there is a reference to people who are living in those places. Well, in our text today, we will see how the gospel is going to the end of the earth. We have in Acts 8 here, the verses 26 to the end, to 40. I will try my best to stay close to the text. I will try my best not to go anywhere else, but just to explain it to us so that we take it together and as part of God's word, and we may learn things from it today. Well, how did the gospel get into the end of the earth? Well, we are told here that after Philip, after he preached in Samaria, after he preached to Simon, the sorceress, this guy, the guy who tried to buy the gift of God, now Philip is going to have encounter that will take him into the end of the earth. But now he is not going to go himself. The end of the earth is going to come to him. We read in verse 26 of chapter 8, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" We know now there are two ways for a person to travel from Samaria to Gaza. You can come down to Jerusalem, and then from there you go south east to Gaza. But the Spirit told Philip to go straight, to avoid Jerusalem, instead of coming down. So to avoid Jerusalem, because he said on a journey that God himself has designed. And so the gospel going to the end of the earth, my first point is that salvation is God initiative. Now we see the very first word, we read that an angel of the Lord, from the Lord is speaking to Philip, telling him what to do. Now Philip is going to meet this man. Again, we see that this man that Philip is going to meet, also by the name Ethiopian eunuch, and I'm going to say a lot about the Ethiopian eunuch, actually. So it was God also who moved his heart, really, to travel from Africa to Jerusalem. To travel from Africa to Jerusalem. Because this man, the Ethiopian eunuch, as he is described here, was an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace. We call it Candace here, but it's Candace, Queen of the Ethiopians. Queen of the Ethiopians. Lest we confuse the modern Ethiopia with the Ethiopia that is written here for us, or is mentioned here, or referred to here. We need to hear this. This Ethiopia is part of Africa, south of Egypt. That is what all the scholars and the writers have agreed on. Ethiopia figured in Mediterranean legends and mythical geography as the very end of the earth, sometimes extending from the far south to the east. And the most commonly mentioned feature of Ethiopians in Jewish and Greco-Roman literature. Also noted in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah 13, 23, we read that kind of Cusha changed his color. So the color also, their black skin. Some sources also depict their hair and other features in ways that leave no doubt that black Africans are in view. So this Ethiopian eunuch, we are told, hails from a black Nubian kingdom south of Egypt, partly in what is now the Sudan. A kingdom that had lasted since about 750 BC and whose main cities were Merewe and Napta. And some who have gone to school in Sudan, they would remember this, where we studied this in the history. Sudan was kingdoms, was not like this before. It was a kingdom of Merewe, Alua, Napta. And so from Khartoum to the south of Egypt, this is the place that we are dealing with today. And you can see it's a subject close to my heart because I come from Sudan. So the gospel reached us earlier, more than any other person's. And so we have a share in the gospel. We have heard it fresh from those who received it from the Lord himself. Peter, if you want to talk about apostolic succession. So this man, the Ethiopian eunuch, was part of Merewe. And Merewe, we are told, was a very wealthy. So the treasurer probably supervised considerable wealth, the empire's capital, also named Merewe, was roughly 100 miles northeast of modern Khartoum. I was there like 4 weeks ago. And roughly 200 miles south of modern Egypt. No small journey to Jerusalem, although this kingdom had some trade with Rome. Even the treasurer for Merewe's queen would not normally have business that far. So this man was going solely to worship God. So we are told that he was an African, he was a eunuch, and also there are a lot of references to eunuch, those who are castrated. But also these words, if you study carefully, could mean also an official. We can only take it as eunuch only if we study the text and study it in the context. of what the Lord is saying. And I will really give you what I believe to mean shortly. So they are mentioned. So this man was a very important official in charge of all the treasury of Kandaka. So the word Kandaka today is used even in Sudan and was a title for queens of that kingdom, Kandaka. So all of you would remember 3 years ago there was a revolution in Sudan where the whole country were engaged in deposing a tyranny, a man who ruled the country for 30 years by name Umar al-Bashir and played a great role in pushing a lot of us out of the country. And we end up here because of that man who had been in power for 30 years, adopting the harshest form of Islam, Muslim Brotherhood. So when these people were rising, so there were a lot of girls, a lot of women who took to the streets, were university students, were lecturers, were professors, were lawyers, were medical doctors. They were mothers also, even grandmothers. They took to the streets and they were calling for the deposition of this man who has suppressed the society and caused them not to live as human beings. And so all the women who appeared at the front lines, they were all got the name Kandaka. Because they were noble, they were standing up for what was true in their hearts as good for others, not for themselves. And that was what the queens were for. And they were given this name Kandaka. And so today, if you acted really in a way as a woman in Sudan, if you acted in a noble way, so your people around you will immediately call you Kandaka. And so that is, this is where these words are coming from that is still used to this day, Kandaka. Maybe not unique, but if you travel to Middle East and you go to the Gulf, even to recent days, if you want to be part as it was before in the Old Testament times also, there were eunuchs who were going to serve in the palace, and maybe some of them will be given responsibilities to cater for women. And so they have to go through this mutilation of male organs. And so even Jesus Christ, our Lord, has referred to this in Matthew 19 when he talks about three forms of eunuchs, those who have decided for the sake of the gospel that they disdain, they abstain from having wives and live as men who can have a relationship with women and to bear children. And those who really physically were castrated. And so, and also others who really are forced by others. So Jesus talked about these things. So is a real concept, even in the Old Testament and in our time. So this man, we are told that he had gone to Jerusalem to worship. As I said, it's God who has opened up this opportunity for Philip and also for the Ethiopian eunuchs. It's God who laid on his heart to go and worship in Jerusalem. And although he was a Gentile, but he in his heart, God has drawn him to himself to go and also and to pray. We know also that the Bible, in the Bibles, in Deuteronomy chapter 23, it was not permitted for a Gentile to go and be part of the God's people. They can't. You are not allowed. No one who is emasculated or has his male organ cut off may enter the assembly of the Lord. That was forbidden. But here we are in a different era. We are post-resurrection. Because even this man, as he was traveling, he had with him a scroll. That is what Philip saw him doing. Because Philip now, as he has been urged by the angel to go south, also he was urged to go to that chariot in which this Ethiopian eunuch was traveling. And he was told to stay closer and stay near to this man. And as he stayed near and closer to this man, so he heard this man reading out loud the Isaiah 53. Well, Isaiah 53, this is what this man was reading. What was he reading? He was reading these words as Philip heard him. He heard him reading this passage in Isaiah 53. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearers, he's silent. So he did not open his mouth. And so as he went on reading, in his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? So what he was reading really was speaking of a suffering human being. That is what he saw. He saw that this person that he is reading of, who is this person? A human sufferer who is led like a sheep to the slaughter and like a lamb before his shearer. This person, he has experienced a deep humiliation. He has suffered so much. Even he is deprived of life itself. He was put to death. That is what we read from 32 to 35. So this is what the Ethiopian eunuch was reading. And by the Holy Spirit, this man, his heart began to move towards the Lord. As the Lord in his grace is opening his heart, he would not bring him from all the way from Africa to Jerusalem without God noticing, because God really sees everything. It was not uncommon that there were God-fearing people during that time. We go in chapter 10. We see in chapter 10 of Acts, Cornelius, he was a God-fearing man, and his prayers were heard by God, and he was seen like that. So this man, he saw that this man that the scriptures is talking about, he is unusual. And Philip started to tell him that this man, it was Jesus himself who applied Isaiah 53 to himself. Because when he was led to the cross, he didn't resist. He was like a sheep. He was harmless. He acted as if he didn't know what was happening. That is what happened to a sheep. When you take them to be slaughtered, they don't know even actually if they are going to end up in the ovens or in fridges, you know. So they don't know that. But Jesus Christ himself, for our salvation, he made himself like a sheep, and he allows himself to go through this without opening his mouth. And as a lamb, a perfect lamb of God, whose death will atone for our sins. And as this man was reading, God was taking these words by the Holy Spirit and applying them in his heart, pointing him to Jesus Christ, that Philip and the apostles are preaching about, that the age of salvation has dawned, and it is to be found only in the person of Jesus Christ. That is God's works. You see moving this man from there and moving Philip, telling him to go. Yes, I said it was salvation is God's initiative, and there is no contribution from us. Also, this salvation to reach us, also we need witnesses. If you see, a few years ago, I preached from Luke chapter 1. I preached 4 verses, which were really remarkable. I enjoyed preaching them. This is what Luke said in the opening of his gospel. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the very first were eyewitnesses. And servants of the word. Faithful servants, witnesses, eyewitnesses. Now, this is what I'm going to tell you. That God will save people through the agency of faithful witnesses like Philip the evangelist. When he heard the voice of the angels, he didn't resist. He didn't hesitate. Go! Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go, south, go, 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 go. He just heard it from the Lord. Go. He was a person traveling. He just finished ministering. He was faithful to the voice of the Lord. He got up, the Bible says, immediately. He didn't give any excuse like what we read in the New Testament. That I have a field to go and inspect first. Or I have paid a deposit for a land and I need to settle it first. If the Lord is urging you to go this way. Or I have to do this first. I have to finish my course first. Where we have heard, not only in the New Testament times, even in the Christian centuries. So there were professors in lower school in England who gave up their positions and went to mission. Those who just broke up with their girlfriends for the sake of the gospel. Henry Martins, you have heard me saying that. A guy who just went to China, went to Iran, and he was going to go to Iraq, to Turkey, and he died. He was hit by the heat on the road. This man from Cambridge, a well-known Christian, a translator of the New Testament. So Philip didn't hesitate to rise. The Bible says that. So he started out, and on his way, he started out at the voice of the angels. And also, we see again the Spirit of God in verse 29. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. That again, he heard the voice of the Holy Spirit urging him to go as a faithful witness, as a person who heard the command from his master that when you are close with this power, you have no any other business but to take the gospel to the end of the earth. And now the gospel is going to be taken back to Africa by this Ethiopian eunuch. A man who was described to us here that he was a very wealthy man, a treasurer. So he didn't waste his time and didn't want just to build mansions himself to worship God, the living God. He did everything possible because to him, to live is God, isn't it? To worship. And God also, he is faithful to those. Because if you see God, you will definitely know him. If you tried, you have that desire to come to him or to get rid of your sins. You can't do it yourself, but he sees your desire that you feel there is something unusual here. The things I do, maybe there is a supernatural power there that doesn't like me doing this. Some people may tell themselves, say to themselves, what is that? It's the providence of God. It's the grace of God. He works by his grace in our hearts. So again, Philip, as a faithful servant, he got up. He ran up. As we are told in verse 26, he started out. And now we are told again that he ran up to the chariot. He ran up. And as he ran up, he heard what was said here. And then you know, of course, that the Ethiopian eunuch, when he asked Philip, who is the prophet talking about? As I say to you, is Jesus himself. Because the prophet was not speaking about himself. The prophet was speaking about this figure that was going to come in Isaiah 53. And now the person who was going to come has already came. And now the Ethiopian eunuch is going to have encounter with the resurrected king. His sins are going to be forgiven in a moment. Then Philip, the Bible says, when he confessed that, I don't understand these things. You know Paul saying that, how can people believe without a messenger, someone to go? And how can they believe without someone to explain this truth to them? As God will use human agency, empowered by the Holy Spirit, given wisdom and grace, and all that we need as frail human beings, weak instruments, but we have treasures in the jar of clay. God, in his grace, in his wisdom, he calls ordinary people like you and I to share this simple truth that if you confess your sin, God can forgive you. And so Philip began from this very text and explained to him the good news about Jesus, the Lamb of God, who did not open his mouth, but he was led like a sheep to the cross to be slaughtered. Before his shearers, he was silent, so he did not open his mouth. He was so humiliated for you and for me, for the wages of sin is death, But the gift of life is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life in Jesus. So the Ethiopian eunuch received the good news. And as Philip was speaking this truth to him, this man's heart was open and was shattered, was broken. This is how we come to faith. When we come to faith, our heart will be softened, will be changed and transformed. And we can receive God's forgiveness and God's Spirit. And then we become his followers, truly. Because here we see, if I go back, not to Isaiah 53, to Isaiah 56. In Isaiah 56, this man who was not permitted to be one of the people of God, there was even a prophecy, a promise back in Isaiah 56, that which says, let no foreigner who has bound himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let not any eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me, who travel from Africa all the way and didn't bother themselves with their high positions and the responsibilities that they have, but their hearts yearn for the worship of the God of the heavens and the King of Kings, God who has promised that he will draw people to himself when he sent down his Son, Jesus Christ, from heaven. So this man, he was encouraged not to see himself as a foreigner anymore, not to see himself as just a servant, a eunuch, maybe a true eunuch, but no, for the Lord himself has determined to bring those whose hearts yearn for him. To them I will give within my temple and his walls a memorial and a name better than once, than sons and daughters of Jerusalem themselves who rejected Messiah and refused his sacrifice and his work on the cross of Calvary. But the Ethiopian eunuch, these words have been fulfilled for him, and the gospel has reached the end of the earth. No one. I will give them an everlasting name, a name that everlasting, to be a follower of Christ, to have their names written in the book of the Lamb. And their names will appear on the judgment day. And they will be singing and shouting, Hosanna, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. And the bride has made herself ready. That will not be cut off. A name that will not be cut off. Foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord, to serve him, to love the name of the Lord. Certainly this man has loved the name of the Lord. He wouldn't travel. And he purchased even a scroll to have a scroll. It's very expensive, isn't it? But he used his money wisely, isn't it? He used them to buy what really will help him to know the living God. It's a hard commodity to find a Bible in certain circles, even to our day today. One day a friend of mine, whom I taught, a younger man, I taught him in 2010, Nile Theological College in Khartoum. One day he told me in 2010 that one day he was traveling in the morning. He was walking to his work. And he saw a little girl, a Muslim girl, 11-year-old girl. She was reading a book, a small book, on her way to school. She had a head cover. And when he got closer, he thought to himself that it was looking like a Bible. And indeed, it was a Bible. And when he came closer to her, he saw that was a Bible. And he asked her, what are you reading? And this girl said, it's a Bible. She was like, where did you find from? And she said, I won't tell you. Where do you keep it? She said, I keep it where no one can see it. And I read it only on my way to school and on my way back. And then I will hit it. The gospel. So for those who have loved the name of the Lord, and to worship him, certainly this man has gone from that place to worship God. So the Ethiopian eunuch now is saved. And the gospel has reached the end of the earth. As this man has believed, as we heard in the memory verse, that all that we need to do is to open our hearts and to believe. And then the Holy Spirit will come to us and will give us the assurance of our salvation as we open our heart. This is what happened with this man. So he said, I want to be baptized. We know it's a command of the Lord. Those who believe, baptize them. Are baptized as a sign that their sins are being washed away. And also they are being welcomed into the family of God. And now they are fully initiated into the assembly of God, into the body of Christ. And now the Ethiopian eunuch, no longer an Ethiopian eunuch, but a follower of Christ, a brother of many who have come to know him. And so this man was baptized as Philip really was seizing every opportunity. Philip the deacons, you remember, he's a deacon, okay, but filled with wisdom and in spirit. And he was also known as Philip the evangelist. And so this man, when they finished, the spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. So this salvation brings the joy of God to our hearts, because it brings on you the sense of forgiveness. No guilt. No guilt for the sins we have committed against God. Even the worst sinner, like Paul himself, who participated in the murdering of Stephens, could say, I've been set free. Even though I was the worst sinner, I was the chief of the sinners, the persecutor of the church, a bad man, he was given a name, even a name that was so great among the followers of Christ. So this man, he went on rejoicing, because now his all his thoughts, all his questions have been answered. Who is this? Who is this figure who looks like someone who has taken my place? This person who has done me this great service. Who is this person? It causes him to rejoice. Because as he opened his heart, his burden were taken out. And also now his worship begins to be really a true worship. Because Jesus said that in John 4, isn't it? The true worshipers. The time is coming when the true worshipers will worship in truth and in spirit. They may not need to travel all the way from Africa to Jerusalem. That is why we don't visit Jerusalem, isn't it? Okay? We can visit Jerusalem here, isn't it? Here. Even as we sit here. You see, because of this great work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. So we can worship God. We can love him. We can feel him. We can know him. We can rejoice on his word. And we can be assured of our future. And all his promises, we have seen them also, causes us to trust, isn't it? Because we have seen no single promise that was not being fulfilled. And even the one that are to be, not yet, they are going, because he's a faithful God. He never lies. So you can trust him. So I can invite you today, even your salvation, you can be assured of your salvation. Because it's not by works, as Nick told us. Just to believe, isn't it? Just to believe. Not just to believe in the vacuum. To believe in the one who was led like a sheep to the slaughter. And as a lamb before shearers is silent. So he did not open even his mouth in his humiliation. He was just so pressed. He was deprived of justice. Justice. All of us, we cry for justice, isn't it? We will never get it in this world. A lot of hard things. If your faith will depend on things to go well with you, well, you haven't come to salvation as yet. So this figure, we are to put our trust in him, Christ. Christ alone. This man went back rejoicing. And Philip also, he knows himself that he didn't want to get benefit from this. And it's one of the things that we can use also in application. As I said earlier, we need to close chapters in our lives. I know it's very hard for us to close chapters, isn't it? Think and drag on, even the Lord is calling you to move from that school to another place. We want to hold to the things. We want to hold to the same job all the time. Even to the same house. Even the same seat, isn't it? Every Sunday. And some people really even wrote their names there. I heard Michael Jensen saying that he went to one of the churches, one of the churches, and so they got names. A new minister came and he got his screwdriver, and so he picked, he pulled them out, all the names there, because you need to change place. Philip himself, he did not dwell on these things. he was taken by the Spirit. He went further to serve God in other places. He didn't dwell on this success. For God is on a mission. If God is calling you to do something that is unusual, do it. Do it. Like the evangelist Philip, he went on. Well, now we have seen how the gospel has reached the end of the earth, isn't it? We didn't see it in the Bible telling us that this is the end of the earth, isn't it? In other passages. But if we observe carefully how the witness is traveling, the witness is going, we see that now this is the beginning of a true witness to the Gentiles. For this man is a Gentile. Even some scholars who suggest that maybe he was one of the lost tribe, part of the lost tribe, because even today people claim that there are a lot of Africans who can find their origins in the people of God. And some tribes, and I'm afraid to say that, even the Nui people, they claim they are part of Benjamin because of their rituals and everything that seem to be like that. And I say also, even today, even the nature of the African Christianity has something to do also with this. You see a lot of Judaism there. You see them powerful on the Old Testament. And that is rightly because we can never worship the God of the Old Testament better than when we come to Christ and know him. Because Christ is the only one who can show us the true God of Israel, who he is. And as he does that in us, and then we go back to Genesis, and we rejoice from there. As we see in Psalm 63, Elohim Elita. Elohim Elita. O Lord, you are my Lord. The first Lord is Elohim, the God, the Creator God. And El is the God who traveled with his own people. It's our personal God. We can say through Christ that God of the heaven and the earth is truly my God. And this man can say this now. He is not a foreigner. Though from Merewe, from Sudan, now he is not a foreigner. He is a child of God. Well, I encourage you today that as you begin to read your Bible, you come to be aware of this and to rejoice that the gospel is touching everybody. And that is why in our day today, we want to take the gospel to every part of the world, because God has started it through Philip. And we have the responsibility as God's people to take the gospel further so that Christ might return. Well, let me reiterate all these things. Salvation is God's initiative. God is the one who moves people's heart and also uses his messengers, his servants. Rely on God yourself if you are a servant of God. Rely on him. Try not to be clever. Philip didn't do anything, but he was open to the voice of the Lord. And he obeys. He obeys him. Also, we need to know that salvation is offered also to those whose hearts yearns for God's mercy, who want to honor him in every way and would want to take risks and travel all the way from Africa, giving up on all the pleasures of the earth. A man who was dining on all types of food can have palaces, but that was for him. He was not created for that. He was created to be a worshiper. Is that how you are? You may have a lot of things today, like this Ethiopian eunuch. You might be a very important person in your position, so you might have a lot of money, you see, but this will not save you. But you have to have a heart that yearns to worship God, you see. And also, it might be hard for you to do that. You may walk. People walk to church 2 hours, 1 hour. Some people, they just have only one set of clothes that they wear to church every week. But sometimes we spend like 10 minutes in our wardrobes just thinking of what to wear, isn't it? So we have a lot. But the most important thing is that our hearts to love the Lord Jesus Christ, who has loved us so much and would want to bear all for us, like what he did to the Ethiopian eunuch. He was baptized and he believed immediately and went on to ask for baptism, and then he went off rejoicing because of the witness of the Holy Spirit in his heart that all his sins are forgiven. So we can sing with Crowder, all my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday is gone. All my sins are forgiven. the prodigal returns. That's why I sing, all my hope is in Jesus. Thank God my yesterday is gone. All my sins are forgiven. All my sins, no single sin that will remain on the account of the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even right now, you can just confess any sin. Any sin is sufficient. His blood is sufficient for us. The gospel to the end of the earth. Very exciting. Would you play a role in furthering the kingdom of Jesus Christ? By all means, if you are a pilot, we know missionaries going as pilots, teachers, nurses, everything, anything, even business people. People who just go in disguise. I want to finish here. If you see me traveling in Sudan, you wouldn't believe the person you see. I would just wear just something so simple, you see. And people would not even notice that even I'm over 50. You see, I will be just a young boy, just in disguise. So that I can get where I was going. 8 hours, 9 hours going. It's God's grace to be able to do that. It's God's grace. Let us have this desire to see Christ glorified in our lifetimes. Because the living only can glorify him right now. When our time finished here, we will be rejoicing in heaven. But we have a duty to do here. The gospel to the end of the earth. You have a role to play. Let us pray.